Okay, welcome to another exciting episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. I'm joined here today by Diane Anderville. Diane, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good. In our Meet a Gator segment today, we're going to have Marika Couturier, first-year student athlete from Val d'Or, Quebec, who is studying business. We're going to be joined by Dr. Catherine Campbell, my wife, in the third segment of the show where we preview what's up this week. Diane, we got a lot to talk about. Maybe you could talk a bit about our trip to Toronto the past week.
Yeah, so we left for Toronto on Thursday afternoon around 1, and we took a 21-passenger. Thankfully, I wasn't driving. We had a driver to drive us there.
Thankfully, Eddie Pompeo wasn't driving, okay? Diane, listen, for all you listeners out there, we had to make a strategic decision this past weekend. We have Diane Anderville, who drives one of the buses, and her problem is she has a lead foot. All right. Or we have Eddie Pomacallo, whose problem is he never stops talking while he's facing the passengers in the back, which causes some problems. So we had to spend about an extra $1,200 to get our own bus driver. All right. Which was probably good for everybody involved. All right. Go ahead, Diane.
So we stopped at Kingston for a bit. So sorry, I got a chance to see your family.
Again, let me jump in. I'm Sarah Pearson, first-year student athlete from Kingston, Ontario. You know, we strategically planned to stop in Kingston so she could spend some time with her mom, and that was neat. And, you know, all things Sarah Pearson did not play the first two. She got in for about a minute against York in our first game. Lo and behold, in our third game, she played about 20 minutes against Saskatchewan, who were in the national final last year, and had a great game. And I'd like to think it had something to do with us stopping in Kingston.
Okay. So we arrived at Toronto around 9 o'clock. The hotel that I booked was right next door to Ryerson. So we literally step outside, and right next door, we could just walk, 20 feet, and then we were there. So then we didn't have to prepare as much because we're next door. So then the logistics became easier. Everything that we needed, restaurants, groceries.
I mean, Diane, how many times, once we arrived in Toronto and we got out of our bus on Thursday night at 9 o'clock, when was the next time we got into our bus? When we were leaving on Sunday. Back, Diane did just an unbelievable... Diane takes care of so many things, so the players just have to play and the coaches just have to coach. And she... You know, the players, when we got on the bus to leave Toronto, they were chanting MVP, MVP, about the work Diane did, all right? And she set it up so that we literally had to walk outside our hotel room, all right, 25 feet to a left-hand turn coming out of the hotel, and... about, well, we'll say 50 feet to get into the Ryerson Gymnasium, which it's the Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens. The Maple Leaf Gardens, where the Maple Leafs used to play, for all you hockey fans. All right, terrific venue. All right, and all the players had to do, Diane had all their meals taken care of. We had breakfast in Diane's room. She went shopping to the Loblaws, which was right there too. So the girls had terrific breakfast 3 days in a row. All right. Diane ordered 48 meals for three pregame meals. We had them in the room, and the girls had one meal a day that they had to take care of after the game, and they were right downtown Toronto. So yeah. Diane, on behalf of the players, we thank you, from the bottom of our hearts, for making that trip so untaxing on us in terms of all I had to do was get up and watch a little film. Diane brought film to my room, usually about 7:30 in the morning. Yeah. All right. You know, it was a super, super weekend. Diane, perhaps you can just touch on the three games we played.
Friday we played against York. We won 73-55. Saturday we played Ryerson, we lost 78-56, and on Sunday we played Saskatchewan, we lost 77-66.
And if I may, just a couple some real bonuses. We were 1-2, but we definitely came back a better team than when we left. All right, we had to play without a key player. Marie Berouette was out with a concussion. And certain players had to step up. I thought Micheline Gabalis had a tremendous, tremendous tournament. All our key players who were in the rotation had to play big minutes, and they really had to leave it out on the court. I thought Sarah Pearson had a tremendous game in the third game of the tournament. Eve-Marie Uhl had career highs against York University with 28 minutes, 14 points, 13 rebounds. Mechelen Gabalus had 15 points versus York. Ama Siciliano had 22 points versus Saskatchewan. You know, some terrific performance. I thought Maude Archambault had the best game of her career versus Saskatchewan. She went to the line 10 times. She had 18 points. She had 6 rebounds. Really played well. Ashley Malone played like a true veteran for 3 straight days, playing major minutes. And we managed to come out of there with no injuries.
Yes.
And Marie Berowetz was back on the floor today. All right. Not on the floor, but she was on the bike. And she's started her protocol to get back in action from a concussion. So it's all good. Now, Diane, maybe you can touch on what the rest of our conference opponents did this past weekend.
Yeah, so McGill was at the same tournament in Ryerson. On Friday, they lost to McMaster 97-73. Saturday, they lost to Western 69-48. And on Sunday, they won 70-45 against York. Concordia won Friday 51-31. Versus Carlton. On Saturday, they won 93-61 versus Acadia. And on Sunday, they won 70-51 against Laurentian. UCAM went to Nova Scotia. They lost 74-70 on Friday against Cape Breton. On Saturday, they won 78-55 versus St. FX. And on Sunday, they won 77-55 versus Nipissing. As for Laval, they had their own tournament. And on Thursday, they won 71-58 versus UNB. And on Saturday, they won 62-53 versus Wilfrid Laurier.
Oh, that's a great recap. And, you know, once again, the Quebec schools are doing well in non-conference play. And, you know, come November 10th, when we start conference play, we're going to start beating up on one another. Now, Diane, maybe you can briefly touch on the Cégep League, if there was any action.
On Wednesday, Montmorency played Édouard Montpetit, and they won 65-58. On Friday, there were 2 games. Champlain-Lennoxville played Dawson, but they lost 84-44. On Friday, also there was a game between Trois-Rivières and Sainte-Foy, and Sainte-Foy won 68-62.
Perfect. So that about wraps it up for our first segment. We're going to be right back with Marika Couturier on Time Out with Coach Craig. Puis derrière nous la maison, des souvenirs qui s'oublient pas, un gros plein d'émotions. On enfile les saisons, l'amour, les inspirations, les choix de destination s'y retrouvent pas. Mais à nous le souvent dit, maman, rester honnête et bienveillant, on a compris ça simplement. Va pas changer. Ben c'est comme avant, comme avant, comme avant. On veut que le temps, que le vent soit bon. Oh oui, comme avant, comme avant, comme avant. Okay, welcome to Meet a Gator segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Today we're very fortunate. We're joined by first-year student Marika Couturier. Marika, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Marika is a young lady who's come into our program. She's a terrific basketball player. She plays the post position. She's about 6 feet tall, shoots the ball really well. But we're more interested in learning the other side of Marika. Marika is a Francophone speaking lady who's studying in English for the first time. And I think she's a bit stressed out about being here today, but she's one of the more courageous young ladies I've met and recruited at Bishop. So, Marika, we want you to relax. Maybe you could start by telling the people where you grew up and how when you started playing basketball.
I grew up at Val-d'Or City in Abitibi. And I started playing basketball in primary when I was like 10 or 9.
Well, Marika, number one, your English is terrific. All right? It's way better than my friends. C'est toi le meilleur. Okay? Merci beaucoup. Now, maybe you could, how far is Val d'Or from Lennoxville?
Maybe 9 hours, 10 hours.
Wow, drive. So that's a pretty fair distance, all right? Mm-hmm. And you know what, I think, that's by far, she's the farthest kid away from home from our Quebec kids, all right? And I'm wondering, at what age did you leave home to to first chase your basketball dreams? How old were you?
I left home when I was 16 years old. I go to Quebec City to play for Séminaire Saint-François just for 1 year.
Wow. So you left home at 16. Now, you might like to go to Séminaire Saint-François, for all you listeners out there, is probably the best high school, girls high school team in the province. They develop a lot of players. All right. So obviously, you were a pretty good basketball player to leave home to go there. I think that you played for the Quebec team when you were younger, correct?
Yes.
How old were you when you first played for the Quebec team?
I played for U15 and U17.
Wow. So, I mean, Marika's an elite-level basketball player. She's represented our province at the national championships. She played at Séminaire Saint-François. And I'm wondering, what happened after that? Where did you go to CEGEP your first year?
I go for my first year and second year at Nouvelle Frontière. And for my last year, the school closed, so I chose to switch school to go to Collège Montmorency for my last year.
So, I mean, you've been all over the place, you know? So like, you learned to manage some of your stuff, like, when you were younger, and basketball has always been a big part of your growing up experience. I'm wondering, can you talk a bit about some of the coaches who impacted you?
Yes. Lindsay Tremblay, she was my coach at Val-d'Or. She decided to pick me up when I was, I think, 15. I played with the Juvenile 3A. So it was a big impact for me. And after François Pecknaud, this coach is from Séminaire Saint-François. They very developed me with my shoot, post move, fitness too. And after Pat Bibeau, it's that guy is from Nouvelle Frontière, and this guy was amazing with me. All my fitness, I have to run 5 kilometers all day, and for my shooting too, it was an amazing coach for that. My dribble and all the stuff about basketball.
All your skill work.
Yeah, and for all the playing stuff, it's more Martin Fortier from.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've had some terrific coaches, you know. Like, I think Mr. Bibeau, I saw him coach a number of times, and I think he's a very passionate, and he loves the game so much, all right? Mm-hmm. And I think he did a great job with you, and I think Martin Fortier is an elite-level coach, and he probably taught you more about systems. Mm-hmm. I've watched him a lot, and he's developed some great players. Tell me, what was it like playing at Montmorency College in your third year? Because, I mean, that was an elite level program, and you guys were competing for a national championship. What was that like for you?
It was tough for me. More about the fitness too, because when you play for Montmorency, it's very intense. So you have always to run the floor.
Yeah.
So it was tough for that. And for the system too, it was another...
It was more systems oriented.
Yeah,
there.
More, and they have some things that I don't know, and it was a new way.
Well, I saw you play. I saw you play when you were in your first year at Nouvelle and your second year, and I saw you play in your third year at Montmorency. And I knew the first time I saw. I remember watching you practice at Bishop's, and I was an assistant coach at Bishop's then, and I was like, who is that girl? Because I think you're a tough player. I think you can shoot the ball really well, and I think you've developed over the years, and it's been interesting to watch you develop and grow as a player. I'm wondering for yourself, like at Bishop's, you got three other players from Montmorency College, and people don't even realize this, but Bishop's, the biggest school contributing to us is Montmorency, and no one would know that, and we're going to try and recruit a couple of more players from there. And I'm wondering if it was kind of, if that helped with your transition, knowing that you had three people from Montmorency here.
Yeah, it helped me, because I know then if she's from Montmorency, so if she came here, it's like they knew that it's a good program for us, and
Now, when did you know that you wanted to play at the university level?
When I was at secondary four, I think. Yeah, maybe secondary four or five.
So it's always been part of your dreams.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, Can you talk a bit about the transition from playing D1 level basketball at the Seja to now playing university basketball and probably playing in the most competitive league in the country and playing for Coach Norman? How has that transition been?
It was tough, seriously. More about fitness. When I come here, I was not in shape. I have a lot of work to do. But now I feel more better with my body, but I have some work to do. And about my finish at the basketball, it's tough. I saw the difference with Mo and Ashley. It's easy for her to finish. And me, it's tough. So fitness and finish, it's mostly.
Well, I think you've improved so much from the day you I remember the day you showed up in the summer. Don't know what the date was, maybe about August 18th or 17th, and I remember you coming, and I remember our first 20-meter shuttle run and how we struggled, and I watched you this morning. I watched you run the floor when we did our first big drill, and I think you underestimate how far you've come, and you can really run the floor when you focus on it. I think maybe you could talk a bit about this. I think what affects your fitness is the amount of thinking you have to do on the floor, all right? And I'm wondering, has it been a difficult transition with all the systems at this level?
Yes. It's more different. We have a lot of free with two, so yeah. It's not the same at Montmorency and Nouvelle Frontière. It's more about the system you have to understand the play too, because if, example, this play doesn't work, you have to do this one after. So it's more,
You know, and then there's all getting to the spots, and there's it never stops, right? You never get a break. Stop. Now, how are you balancing studying at university in a different language, all right? Playing at the university level, living away from home, and playing with all new players? How difficult has that been?
The first one was very intense, with basketball too. And when the school began, the first week I just don't understand what the teachers say. So it was tough. But now it's okay. I'm always on my book and I study to get a good day.
I mean, for all you listeners out there, when I met Marika outside the radio station today, the first thing she said to me was, "Coach, I got an 85 on my midterm in marketing." And so obviously you're doing something great, all right? And, you know, I think I when you came down for your visit with your mom and your dad, I think I made a promise to them. I said I don't know how good a basketball player Marika is going to be. I think she's going to be terrific, but I know that she's going to graduate from Bishop's University. And you know what I think is going to happen too is I think your English has improved tremendously. All right? And you know, I think the basketball is not really about basketball. And I don't like, do you know what I mean when I say that?
No.
I think it's all the other stuff that comes with it, like getting on the bus with the girls and supporting one another and going to class and meeting all these challenges. Like, I mean, I think you're going to be a huge success, and I'm wondering, have you set any goals for yourself individually and for the team this year on the court?
About the basketball?
Yeah.
For individually, it's more my finish and fitness. It's my priority for this year. And the team, it's to win. We have to win.
Yeah.
We have the team for the
win. You know, I think, I don't know, I'm going to ask you this question, but I think that people out there, the basketball community, does not give us the respect we deserve. I don't think they understand that I think we could be pretty good. And I'm wondering, what do the girls think?
They think we can win.
Yeah.
I'm sure about that, because we are the team for that.
See, I think what you need to know too, and I'm going to say this on the radio for all you listeners out there, that the girls think that you're pretty good, all right? And your teammates have come up to me a couple times and said, "Coach, you need to play Marika, and Marika's pretty good." And I agree with them, Marika, all right? So, you know, we're looking for big things from you, but another question I need to ask you is, How are your, like, what do you feel about your studies? How important are they to you? And what's in your future? Like, are you planning on getting a graduate degree? What are you planning on doing with your studies and with your future?
Hey, first of all, I want to have my diploma at Bishop. I want to finish here. And after, I want to go in recruitment.
Okay.
So I will check if I want to go to do a better diploma. I don't know yeah. yet. Okay. I just want to finish here.
So before. When you say recruitment, do you mean human relations?
Is yeah. That,
yeah? Okay. Human resources.
Human resources.
Okay. I know what your ultimate goal is. You want to go work at a company where you're in charge of human resources, and then Coach Norman's going to send his CV, and you're going to you're going to interview him, and you're going to say, sorry, Coach, you're not qualified for this job. Now, I always ask the kids, all right, when they're here, what advice would you give to somebody, like a young girl in your same shoes? Maybe she's young and she wants to go away from home and she wants to chase a basketball dream. Because, Marika, whether you like it or not, you're a role model for all the young Francophone girls out there who are 15 who think that they're going to maybe get a scholarship at university. What advice would you give them?
When it's tough, just continue and you will get what you have to get, I think. And just if it's your passion, do what you have to do.
So basically what you're saying is you got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, and I think you do a great job of that. Now, one last thing. We always ask the Gator that comes in to pick a song of the week. And I'm wondering what your song of the week is and why it's that song.
My song is Les Deux Frères. The song is Comme Avant. It's talk about Abitibi and all the family. It's important and about that.
Well, that's great. Now, listen, Marika, we wish you all the best on the court and in the classroom this year. And thank you so much for coming here. And your English was beautiful.
Thank you, Coach. On est plus grand. On le voit bien, évidemment. Le monde change pas vraiment comme ce qui brûle en dedans. Et s'il y arrive des renversements, qui font voir les choses autrement. Même si on fait un peu plus d'argent, ça va pas changer.
Okay, welcome back to the recap segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We've got a special guest here this week. We got Dr. Catherine Campbell, who is my lovely wife. You know, I've often talked about winning the lottery. I think we win the lottery just being born in this country, and I've won the lottery being married to this wonderful woman who questions me on a daily basis. Dr. Catherine Campbell, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you know, maybe, you know, for all those listeners out there, like, you know, the coach wannabes and their spouses, be it, you know, maybe there's, you know, hopefully, I think one of the downfalls of the women's game is there needs to be more female head coaches at the university level. And, you know, that being said, you know, maybe Dr. Catherine Campbell, you could talk a bit about being the wife of a coach at this level and you know, some of the sacrifices you make for the family.
Well, I think it's important if you're married to somebody who's passionate about their career, whether it's in coaching or any other area, that you have your also your own career and interests that you're passionate about, so that you don't, and that you get your sense of fulfillment through your own career and your own interests. And that way you can be in a partnership with someone who has similar kinds of passions. And I think that's what makes it work.
Well, that's a hell of an answer. And like right off the bat, you can see that my wife is much, much smarter than me. Okay. We know that. All right. And you didn't have to make that so forceful in your first answer. Okay.
Okay.
Now, Diane, I'm wondering if you have any questions for Dr. Catherine Campbell, like in terms of how she deals with Coach Norman, anything like that.
Well, sometimes Coach Norman can be a bit
Overbearing?
Overbearing. Is he always like this or is he different at home?
No, he's kind of always like that. I think that overbearing is very diplomatic, Diane, because it can be a bit more than that sometimes. But I think the important thing is to let coach know that, you know, enough already, and that he can back off. And I think he kind of gets that message. He likes it when you stand up to him. He wants people to stand up to him, and I think that's all of his players out there. You should know that he wants you to do.
You know, it's an interesting comment because actually this morning I had a bit of a run-in with Ashley Malum in our third game against Saskatchewan. I got a bit upset with her about the defenses she was playing down the stretch of the game, and she got mad at me. And I said to her today, I said, Ashley, you know what? I really like the fact that you got mad at me, you know. And I don't think she understood that, all right. But I think when people are given their all right, and I'm on them, and they're giving their all, I have no problem with them answering me back, and not giving me attitude, but standing up to me. Yes, I need to be stood up to at times, and I understand that. And honey, you do it all the time, all right? I'm wondering, you know, Dr. Catherine Campbell, being the academic that you are, you know, Catherine teaches at University of Ottawa, and I'm wondering, have you had interactions with varsity athletes down there? And what perception, like, is there still a perception of the dumb jock in the classroom?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'll often have varsity players come up to me with notes saying, you know, this is my schedule, I won't be here these days, whatever, and I appreciate knowing, but no, I mean, I don't go into a classroom and think, you know, I don't have that perception myself. I don't think my colleagues do either. I don't think that exists anymore.
Okay. Well, doctor, if you could just sit there, and if you want to pipe into any of the conversation that's going on, please feel free. We're honored and privileged to have you here today. This upcoming week, we do not have any competitions to prepare for on the weekend. So, you know, we're gonna have a week of recovery and regeneration. That being said, I gave them one day off. I gave them Monday off, and we were back at practice on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. All right, and I haven't decided if I'm gonna give them Saturday, Sunday off yet. So, but that being said, we're gonna tone it down a bit. Tuesday morning we're on the floor for about an hour, and then we lifted. Usually we're on the floor for about an hour 45, and then they come back later in the day to lift. So we condensed that a bit, and I know the girls were happy about that. All right. Recovery and regeneration is a big part of, periodization for a coach. And you gotta recognize signs of fatigue, because signs of fatigue, it's like taking money out of the bank early, and then when you got to pay the bills at the end of the month, there's nothing there. And my wife knows all about that. I've taken out a lot of money over the years, and then there's nothing left at the end. Well, it's the same with your energy systems, all right? And I've got to be aware that the girls, if I overtax their bodies now, they're not going to have anything left in the tank when we play in Boston in 2 weeks. So with the advice of our strength and conditioning coach, Michael Fulham, and some expert advice from Steve King, who's a internationally renowned athletic therapist. You know, we use certain techniques to help the body recover and regenerate. All right, we'll be in the pool this week. All right, we're trying to cut down on the pounding in the gym this week, and we'll keep them sharp, but we'll cut down on volume. So that's a big onus for this week. And because we have no competitions this week, per se, a major focus for the coaching staff this week is recruiting. We have a young lady coming in from Vanier on Thursday. We have a young lady coming in from Montmorency on Saturday. We have a young lady coming in from Dawson on Saturday as well. We have a conference call to Argentina on Friday with a major recruit there. So we're pretty busy. Which brings us to the coaching tip of the day from Diane Angeville. Diane, what is your coaching tip of the day for this week?
So the coaching tip is about sending effective message to the players. As a coach, the players will listen to you because they want to be coached and they want to play their best so they can win. And it's the way you communicate is through verbal and nonverbal messages. Verbal messages, you need to be positive and be honest with your players. You have to state whatever information you're trying to teach them clearly and simply, and you have to say it loud enough and always repeat it so you know that they're listening and they are paying attention to the details. So then they'll try to make less mistakes possible, and if they do make mistakes, they can learn from it and try not to repeat them. And also you have to be consistent in the way you speak to them and the way you correct their mistakes. And for nonverbal messages, you also have to be, when it comes to your attitude and the way you, like your facial expressions, the way you comport yourself, you have to be consistent as well, because they will follow whatever you do. So when you come in the gym, you have to be positive and energetic, then they will be energetic. Because if you're slumpy, then they'll be the same. So try to lead by example, give positive feedback, try to give constructive criticism. Don't try to be too negative, and then the players will love you for it, and they'll be more receptive to whatever you're trying to teach them.
Great, great, simple message. Coach Norman struggles with the negativity at times. All right, he doesn't struggle with loud, clear messages. Nope. All right, he tries to be as consistent as possible. All right, as far as nonverbal goes, sometimes a good hard look is as good as, you know, making a loud suggestion. And a lot of times I'll say to the girls, I'll just look at them and I'll say, do you understand what I'm saying? And they'll say, yes, coach, I understand. All right. Basically, Diane, the coaching tip of the week would be great for all the parents out there. Yes. All right. Clear messages, yeah. Consistent. All right. It's not rocket science. All right. And, yeah. And once again, Diane, I'm going to mention it again. I know you're after my job. All right. And you know what? I think you're moving in that general direction every week. I see tremendous growth. These coaching tips of the day just get more and more clear, and you're doing just an unbelievable job. All right, for all you listeners out there, I think it's important that you know Dr. Catherine Campbell resents greatly the fact that I have my own radio show. She wants to have her own one. I know Diane does too. All right, and ladies, you know, you're more than welcome to share the spotlight here, okay? I will share it.
Thank you.
Diane, what do we have? What do our conference opponents have in terms of play this week? Anything up?
All the other teams are off until our season openers in November 8th. So we're the only one who will be playing in between that time next week when we play Bentley College and St. Emsong.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Well, that's good for us. Listen, it's been a great, great show. It's great to have my wife here. She's here because, and all you people out there, our relationship, I've always been like almost a mercenary in basketball, all right? Because I love the sport so much. I get paid to coach it. I started my career, I was down in Kingston. Then I was at McGill. Now I'm at Bishop's. And it's caused some stresses on our marriage, all right? So it's nice to have my wife here for the week. She's on reading week at University of Ottawa, and I'll try not to damage our relationship this week, dear, all right, as best I can, all right? No. Diane, as usual, great job this week.
Thank you, Coach.
We look forward to a week off, and hopefully the girls may have a weekend home with their families. We'll see. Hopefully they'll have a good week of practice, and Coach Norman won't be so paranoid, and we'll let them go home. But I can't make any promises. What I can promise you is that we'll be back at the same time next week on Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Have a great weekend.